Last week we heard the words of Jesus, "Fear not, little flock." This week we hear Jesus' words of thunder and fire and his baptism of death. Last week, Jesus' words comforted the afflicted. And this week seemed to afflict the comfortable, especially pastors trying to make sense of Jesus' words this morning. All these words, though, are from Luke chapter 12. "Fear not, little flock," are the public words for the thousands that were trampling on one another. And then the talk about fire and division are for the 12 disciples. This is important, because these words about fire and division are about the cost of discipleship. "I came to bring fire to the earth," Jesus says. "And how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed." This is good Hebrew parallelism. Jesus comes to bring fire, but it has not yet been kindled. Jesus has come to undergo a special baptism and is eager to escape the stress of its anticipation. In other words, Jesus' baptism is a baptism of death and of fire. This is exactly what John the Baptist predicted, as you will remember. John said, "I have come to baptize with water, but the one coming after me will not just baptize with water, but also with the Holy Spirit and with fire." As you follow baptism through Luke's gospel into his book of the Acts of the Apostles, you will see it beginning with John's baptism, then Jesus' baptism. And it continues through his death and resurrection, and into the Acts on the day of Pentecost, when tongues of fire and a great kindling wind blow into the temple. And that day, more than 3,000 people are baptized with water, fire, and the Holy Spirit. From there, the Holy Spirit spreads, and the gospel spreads like a wildfire through Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And that fire continues to spread across the face of the earth, even today, as we witness and we celebrate the baptism of Samuel. "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division," Jesus says. Here Jesus gives us a greater vision beyond just individuals who receive Jesus as he washes them, their sin away through baptism. He points back to the prophet Malachi with these words, where the prophet says that God is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. God cleanses not with just water, but also with fire. Just as Jesus washes us in baptism with water, fire, and the Holy Spirit. When a refiner uses fire, they refine gold and silver. The refiner heats up the metal until the impurities rise to the top. The refiner draws off those impurities and leaves behind purified gold and silver. There is a division that happens with the refiner's fire between pure gold and silver on the one hand and dross and impurities on the other. So will the work of Jesus' fiery baptism reveal what is true and what is false, what is pure and what is defiled, what is sin and what is righteousness. And Jesus reminds us that the truth of the gospel can also divide friends. Sadly, these lines of divisions can sometimes happen in families, even in church families and in churches. This is not Jesus' goal, to break up families. You'll remember John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, Messiah, to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers and parents. Jesus' goal is to undergo a baptism of death and fire to bring healing, forgiveness, and cleansing to the world. But not all will receive this baptism. And so these lines of division fall in unexpected places, even the closest relationships we have. Theologians call this the alien work of God. That which is not the end goal, but rather the consequences of our sin with his work. The proper work of God is to save and to wash away our sin, to restore relationships and to bring peace. And so Jesus is emphasizing here his unintended ramifications of the gospel. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that these lines of division are also right through us as individuals, even those who believe. We have unbelief and belief. We are sinners. We are saints. There is faithfulness and there is unfaithfulness in our lives. But one day, Paul says, all of our works, all of our deeds will be passed through the refiner's fire. Scripture compares this foundation as being built by gold, silver, or precious stone, or built by wood, hay, and straw. The fire does not consume a foundation of gold and silver and stone, but it does of wood, hay, and straw. But it does purify the metal and the stone. And ultimately, that cornerstone is Christ himself. The baptism we witness today, did you notice the fire? The baptism we witness today is a kindling of the Holy Spirit. In our baptism, we're adopted into God's family, just as we came into the church through water this morning. So we come into God's family by water, by the Word, and by the Holy Spirit in fire. And the fire ignited there at our baptism continues to be kindled by the breath of the Holy Spirit that blows through his word into our lives. And it refines and it purifies throughout our lives. When we enter our heavenly home, we will be fully purified and cleansed by Christ's baptismal fire and Holy Spirit, when we will become just like him, without sin, guilt, or condemnation. This is all because Jesus is so eager, in our text, to kindle his transformative fire on earth. Ignited by his love, Jesus uses the wood of the cross of Calvary to fan into flame his power, and the blaze of his grace spreads as we share the good news of him who died and rose again for our forgiveness and our salvation. He canceled my offenses, delivered me from death, He is the Lord who cleanses my soul from sin through faith. In him, I can be cheerful, courageous on my way. In him, I am not fearful of God's great judgment day. No danger, thirst, or hunger, no pain or poverty, no earthly tyrant's anger shall ever vanquish me. Though earth should break asunder, my fortress you shall be. No fire or sword or thunder shall sever you from me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.